Hello, this is Julie Jenkins, and welcome to the Orbit Room. It's August 31st. I am in a lift headed to the airport to go back to New Orleans. I've been spending some time with my family. And as it happens, the lift driver is my son, John. Johnny. His name is Johnny. Johnny Leftwich. I call him John or Johnny. Say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
He's not just my son. He also has created the Backstage Van. The Backstage Van is a very interesting concept that is his alone. Could you explain a little bit what the Backstage Van is?
So the Backstage Van, as a whole, as a project, is my solo music journalism project, where I photograph bands and upload those photos onto Instagram and tag the bands and get their attention that way, and then ask them if they want to come into my actual physical van and sit down and record a podcast with me.
That's great. What was it that initially sparked the idea in your head to go ahead with this project?
I was pursuing a career as a makeup effects artist, and I didn't really like the way that was going. It was more work and dedication than I was interested in pursuing once I kind of got a peek behind the curtain. Like, I have a lot of respect for the people who do it professionally, but I don't want to do that, and I realized that, and my work was just not up to par with where it needed to be on the level of an actual industry professional, and it's not that I doubted that I could get it to that point, but like I said, it's a lot of work, and so I decided that I wanted to do other things, and I was just thinking about, what do I like to do? And I like rock and roll, number one. And I like to help people. And I want to kind of be on the cutting edge is not really the word, but I was just thinking about, how today you can stream music from your phone. Like, pretty much anything that I want to hear, I can play it from my phone in my car, which is very different than years ago when your music collection was a stack of records.
Right.
And so with things changing like that, it's changing for the artist too. And I kind of realized that if I could build a following, I think I have pretty good taste, and so if I could build a following of people who agree with me, then I could provide those people with my recommendations of artists to listen to, and I could also help those artists in introducing them to a fan base. And by doing that, I could maybe pick up a few people from those artists' fan bases each time I do one. And this idea basically arose because just from thinking about how things have changed so much, like with the democratization of music, now you don't need a huge label to get out there. But that means that there's just a flood of bands and artists on Spotify and Apple Music and everything. So I kind of drew from a lot of different professions that have been done in the past, photographer and like talent scout and like a bunch of different things, and kind of rolled it into my own thing that I think I can make something of in this brave new digital world.
Okay, and that involves, the reason you call it the Backstage Van is awesome and fascinating. And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it's a van, and I talk to bands in it. So it's kind of like a backstage experience in my van. And I am outfitting it to be, to feel kind of like a backstage room, and also incorporate some elements of a venue. Like, I have, it's a Ram ProMaster, so if you If you're familiar with what that is, or even if you aren't, you can Google it, or I'll describe it. It's basically just a boxy cargo van. And when you open the sliding side door, as you look in, I have a marquee in there, like you would see outside of a venue, and with the individual sliding letters and everything, and it's backlit, so it says the backstage van welcomes whatever band, and then the siding or the walls in there are like a faux brick, but they look pretty good, they look pretty realistic, and so I'm trying to make it, and not a typical camper van, I'm trying to make it look pretty cool and unique and interesting and give a unique experience to it.
And you travel around. I know you came to New Orleans once.
I did.
And that was cool. You went to Gaza. And you photographed and interviewed Thelma and the Sleaze.
Well, I didn't interview them.
Oh, okay.
And I only kind of photographed them.
Oh, I saw some pretty good photographs.
You might be thinking of when I returned a year later and shot them at Exit Inn in Nashville.
That could be because I'm a little forgetful on occasion.
Yeah. Well, the Gaza show in New Orleans, that was my first ever outing on a backstage van anything. Because I bought the van, in, I think, April of 2018 or March of 2018. I bought my camera in 2018. I bought my podcasting equipment in 2018. Everything, this whole project, I was not a photographer before or a podcaster or any of it. I just kind of imagined it all up and then decided to do it and started the whole thing last year. And that Gaza show was my first outing on the project. And I was so new and inexperienced that I didn't realize that the stock lens that came with the camera that I got would not produce photos in a dimly lit venue, and it was basically a total disaster.
Oh no!
But the band was cool, and I just kind of took it as a learning experience, and so now I have the correct lens, or one of the correct lenses. I'm still learning about the whole process and everything, but yeah, the idea is to travel from city to city doing this.
And you've been to New Orleans, you've been to Nashville, Fort Collins. Mm-hmm. Where are you headed next?
Well, I don't even really consider New Orleans and Nashville as even having been part of this. Because in New Orleans, I was really just driving through, and like I said, it was my first one, and I kind of flubbed it. And then in Nashville, I went to Nashville specifically to make up for that flubbing of that first show, which I did. I got some really good pictures there. But I'm in Fort Collins, Colorado right now as I finish up the van and get it ready to actually, like, set sail.
Okay. And I say this for lots and lots of people, not just as your mother, but you are a fabulous special effects makeup artist. I think you're really hard on yourself. That being said, I do understand when something feels like pressure, you need to move on to something that flows a little easier, but
yeah.
Your monsters are the bomb. Just saying, you know, your monsters are the bomb. I don't know, your blood, your bruises, your gore, your bones, the way you make it look like someone has been soaking in a river for, you know, 10 days and their skin is all, ugh.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing, is that I enjoy doing that stuff for myself and when it's fun, and once it becomes a factory job, it's not fun anymore and I don't care to improve on it.
I totally understand. I get that because that's how I feel about my mixed media art. I don't want it to feel like a chore. So I just create. And if people like it, that's great. And if they don't, that's totally okay too, because the whole reason I'm doing it is just to get it out into the world.
Right.
I don't have to answer to anybody. Nobody's putting any pressure on me. There's no clocking in and clocking out. So I think it's great that the backstage van gives you the opportunity to have a lot of autonomy,
yep,
to travel, meet interesting people, all on your own time and when you want to. So
yeah, and that's the thing about the special effects, the special makeup effects world, is that it basically, you can make a living doing that job three ways. One, you can freelance, which is just hunting down job after job after job and advertising yourself and hoping people will come to you and then scheduling all of that yourself and then hoping that each job goes smoothly and that people pay you, and it's just a monumental pain in the ass. And another way is to get a job in a shop, which is cool. Like, those shops are really cool, interesting places, and I've been in maybe not all, but most of them in LA, the big professional shops, and the stuff on the walls and the stuff that's being worked on is really, really cool stuff, and it's still artistic work, but when it comes down to it, it's, you're being delegated a task, and for the most part, there are sculptors, and there are mold makers, and there are hair punchers, and mostly people kind of get assigned to the same job that they do day in and day out.
Oh, I see.
And then the other way is to be an on-set makeup effects artist, which is what I had in my mind when I set off on that path, to be the person who basically is on the movie set and does the effect or the makeup or whatever, and then it goes in front of camera and gets shot, and then they come back and you take it off and break it down and stuff. That's the job that I wanted to do. What I didn't understand was the crazy amount of work that goes into even being considered to get into the union, which is what you have to do in order to have that job. And the union, being in the union is great because you get guaranteed pay for your time.
Right.
You get benefits and all this great stuff, and you get kind of the best of the best jobs, in my opinion, that there are to do in that field. But like I said, the amount of work and commitment that goes into it is more than I want, is a bigger chunk than I want to take out of my life, especially if I'm going to be doing any of my own other projects.
Favorite thing that you did, because I know you also did some modeling because of your height.
You
did some modeling for other special effects makeup artists. So I know you've had your fingers in some different types of, you know,
yes,
within the special effects makeup field. So what was your favorite thing that you did within the special effects makeup field?
Well, my favorite thing, I don't know. I mean, modeling has been cool. I've worked with this artist named Wen Zheng through Cinema Makeup School, who is just, she is the type of artist that I'm talking about when it's like, you have to be that caliber in order to really get those jobs, because her work is just phenomenal. So we did this one, not cosplay, because it's not based on a character, it's an original character by her, but it's like this demon character. And she and her team life cast my chest and abdomen and my back and my shoulders and my hips and my head down to my shoulders, And on those live casts, they sculpted, or she sculpted, she did all the sculpting. She sculpted the headpiece and the chest and the back and the shoulders and all of those correlating pieces. And then ran them in foam and painted them and applied them at Comic-Con, and I became this demon character. And she also made the costume as well. Like, everything you see on that character was her creation. It's really amazing. And so I modeled it, because being a special makeup effects artist and being 6'7", you know, people in those circles, if they need a big, tall monster, they just kind of point at me, and I'm like, okay. But so I did it at Comic-Con, and it actually, it went viral. It's been number one on Reddit, and all of these different media outlets have picked it up and put it on their Instagram and all this stuff. And of the ones that I know of, which is, I would guess, is probably like maybe 10% of the posts that are out there, it's gotten like 100 million views or something like that.
I've had friends tell me, I saw your son on this like Instagram post. Or,
yeah.
Get real excited about it. They're typing there, I know that guy's mom.
Yeah.
So, well, that's cool.
But yeah, that's one thing that was fun. I also really enjoyed working at Universal. I did Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios Hollywood in 2011. That was a fun experience. That's the kind of work that I enjoy, where it's like, get in, put it on, get out. Get in, put it on, get out. Like, really fast, but good. Like, trying to do the best work that I can in a limited amount of time before it has to go out and perform.
You did some haunted houses in Denver too, right?
Yeah, I worked at the 13th floor in Denver, which is one of the biggest haunts in the United States, if not the world. I was makeup department head there for one season, up until the last 3 days when I quit, because it was a lot of bullshit, as tends to happen in the industry. Not regularly in the industry, but just, you know, artists are generally not good at business, and also generally not good at standing up for themselves. And so when I see someone being taken advantage of, I will stand up for them, especially if they are an artist working with me. And sometimes the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and sometimes it gets replaced with another wheel. So sometimes the wheel just pops off on its own. That's what I did.
Well, you've always had that in you. You've always taken up for the underdog, as long as I've ever known you. I've seen you do it many, many, many times, and it's a wonderful quality that too few people have. So
wherever there is injustice, I will induce chaos.
That's right. That's your job, honey. Chaos inducer. The avenging Johnny.
Yeah.
You need a cape.
At my own cost.
Yeah. Well, I certainly appreciate you giving me your time today, Mr. Leftwich.
You're very welcome.
Your grandpa. Mr. Leftwich.
Mr. Grandpa.
Yeah. I'll just call you Johnny.
Okay.
And I'm not going to go into all the nicknames that I have for you, because this is, you know, going out into the public, and I know that you don't like it when I do that.
You can just do that later and record it at the airport before you get on the plane.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you, listeners, for spending time with me this afternoon, and I hope you enjoyed our show, kind of like my show, but with my son here.
Ask me where you can find more information on me.
You know, I need to remember to do that. Thank you for the reminder. Where can we find more information on you and on your projects, upcoming projects?
So you can go to thebackstageband.com, spelled exactly as it sounds, all together. And then The Backstage Band, everything on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Patreon. If you want to support my adventures, you can throw me $1 a month or whatever, or $2 a month, because they tell me at Patreon to not ask for $1, because there's statistically no difference in people's willingness to contribute $1 or $2, so you might as well increase your profits by 100%. So give me $2 at least.
They could even give you $100.
You could give me $1,000.
$1 million.
Yes, give me $2 million.
Why not? $65 million.
At least. Oh. Or don't bother.
All right. Well, thank you, son. Thanks for taking me to the airport.
You're very welcome.
All right. I hope that all of you are having an awesome, fabulous, wonderful day. In 4 short hours, I will have my feet on terra firma in New Orleans in my little shotgun house with the cutest corgi and the sweetest husband and some Chinese food waiting for me. So I'm off to do that. And I hope all of you have a wonderful day as well. We'll see you next time. And this is Julie from the Orbit Room. Bye.